We lift our hearts to you. We lift our voices to you, Father God. We tilt our ear to you that we might have ears to hear today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is present to bring revelation, knowledge to us, to cause us to understand your scriptures, Father God. Jesus, before you went to heaven, you were inclined to give instruction and understanding of the scriptures to the disciples, and you're still doing that today. Father, we thank you that you'll give illumination and you'll pull back the curtains and open the doors and windows and let light shine into our heart that we might have ears to hear. Lord, we hearken to your ear, our ears to your word in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We are bringing 1 Timothy to a conclusion. Well, we're going to attempt to. And, you know, I want to call your attention to chapter 5 as we get ready to talk about a subject that he did not even bring up yet. And you'll find Paul's instructions to all the churches. He'll go from topic to topic to topic. It's going to be common in the way that he writes because, you know, God speaks to us in any matter in all of our life, and it doesn't matter what you're going through, he has a word for you. And I'm always looking for that, you know, and this is just not an information. This is not an infomercial that we're given here from the pulpit. It's not just educating us into various things of the scripture, but what is the heart of this Apostle Paul towards his dear son Timothy, his protege, you know, this man who he was been teaching for years. Timothy's heard Paul's messages. I'll bet if you were to travel with Pastor Dan and Kathy, you know, after a while you would think, I've heard these messages before. It may be. I'm not sure. Hopefully he has a whole pocket full of them, and it might take you a while to get through his library, the body of understanding and clarity that he has concerning the Word of God, concerning the Holy Spirit. And God is continuing to add to him and to me and to you the things we need to grow and to be a more effective minister of the gospel. That's what he's saying here to Timothy. He wants him to be ineffective. But Timothy has been with him for years. So yeah, he's heard all his stories and he's seen the battles firsthand. He was firsthand witness to this place in Ephesus. Timothy was here with him, and that means something. That changes the dynamic of how I'm looking at it and how I'm reading it. He sends him because something shifted. There was a shift in Paul's life where in his heart, he's about ready to tell us in the book of Acts, and I'm headed to Jerusalem. This is what's happening. He's making collections for the saints. He's going and preaching and teaching in the various churches he's already been in. Remember, this is now his third missionary journey. When he accomplishes these works in Ephesians, in this church here, in this city of idols and paganism and every kinds of evil, this is his third missionary journey. He decides to send Timothy here to establish some certain things, and he tells him to watch out for these things, establish elders. Would the men pray everywhere? We could go through the various chapters and pick out these topics and say, does that apply to me today? And I say, yes, it does apply to us today. And I know when Brother Dan has been going around to these churches, Pastor Bill did the same thing. Go around to the churches, you open up the scriptures, and you teach by the Holy Spirit what is going to benefit them in their time. Because we go through times and seasons, you see. And sometimes I sit in meetings where I haven't been through that season yet, and the Word of God begins to come forward from the pulpit, and it's going to make me aware of this new and fresh season. Things are changing outside. We're going into a new season, you see, and I've seen robins in the bare grass. You know, a minute ago, there was just snow, you know, and we watched it. Deb and I went away to the store, and there was a couple of big piles of snow beside our driveway, you know, from us shoveling. We come home, and it's like, what happened to it? See, snow, you had your season. Get out of here. Anyway, but that's just me, all right? Sister Donna loves snow, and she loves watching her birds. She sent me some fantastical pictures, right, of these bluebirds with snowflakes on them. I don't know if you got them, but they're amazing. Ask her and she'll send you the picture. The detail of the bluebirds with the little snowflakes. And you look and you see the little snowflake details. It was an amazing picture. All right, you've had your season. Now get out. Bring on the warm. That's what I'm talking about. But anyway, that's just me having fun. Verse 24 and 25. I pointed these out as highlight moments from my life when I read this. I really took it in its context, and Paul was trying to impress upon him, Timothy, pay attention to this. This will help you. This will help your relationships with people. This will help your dynamic as someone who is, right now you're in charge. I put you in charge. You go down there, you teach them men, stop teaching this stuff. You know, circumcision, it's of no value. Things that they eat and drink and they think we're being sanctified, we think we're being holy, we think we're being godly because we eat this and drink this. Don't pay attention to that, Timothy. That's false doctrine. That is not a doctrine that conforms you to the image and likeness of God. That's not godliness. It's just a sandwich. It's just food. It's just drink. That doesn't change who you are. The deep, heavy revies that you go through in your private time, they have to change you, or what was it? That's what the scripture is. Our daily bread. You know, we eat, it's, my word is spirit and it is life. So let's look at this again, because I think I have not more clarity to it. I just think I understood better based on what I was just talking about. Timothy and Paul have been together for a long time. He's heard all his stories. He knows his doctrine. He knows the things of the flesh and the things of the spirit. And he has already written a particular book, but he's written several books by the time he appoints Timothy to go to Ephesus. So let me read this again, and then I'll define it a little better, and then let you read it on your own when you get home and you see this connection. This connection, because it's too obvious. And obvious, sometimes we miss the two obvious things in life. You know, the secret things, we want those. No one ever saw that before. Well, believe me, Brother Dan told me I saw that before. So, you know, I'm just, he's having fun with me and I'm having fun with him. And we think we know something, but somebody's already known it first. You know, so moving on. The sins of some men are quite evident. Watch the language here. Verse 24 of chapter 5, because we're trying to get to chapter 6. The sins of some men are quite evident. Well, how's that gonna help me, Timothy? How's that helping Timothy? Well, you need to pay attention. You're here in church. You're appointing elders. You're laying hands on people. That's what he just said. Don't lay hands on people too suddenly. Open up your eyes. Open up your spirit. No, he doesn't give permission for us to ever judge people. That's not the doctrine that to godliness. I'm the judge. You're never the judge. You're on the wrong track right now. You know, you're not the judge. God is the judge, but you can, spiritual man judges all things. And this is what he's saying with Timothy, his dear son. The sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. It's obvious. That road that they're on, I've been down that road. That road of alcohol, for me, I'm just saying, the sin of my generation and my genealogy, that road of alcohol, I looked at that and it's a great big fat train wreck. So for me, in my life, I don't mess with that. I'm not touching that. It's not even a religious issue with me. It's a train wreck. And if I get on that path, if it would be that my life had a genealogy of drug addiction or obesity and different things like that, obesity somewhat in my family, I'm not gonna walk down that road. Although I do have an occasional pie and cake sometimes, Marie, because I like it. But don't like it too much, because it's gonna come back and bite you. It'll kill your knees, kill your ankles, kill your hands. Your hands won't work anymore because of all the impurities. You have to understand that in food there's impurities and the body doesn't want it. It just doesn't want it. But practice what you preach, Randy. You see, this is what we have to do, is practice what we preach, or we're going to get ourselves into trouble. Because he's going to tell Timothy, pay close attention to yourself, thus ensuring salvation for yourself and for all those that hear you. What did he mean by that? What does that look like? Timothy, if you're going to preach godliness, you have to live godliness. This is what he's telling him. So, the sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judge. For others, other men, sometimes it's not so obvious, but it won't take long. The wages of sin is what? You'll see death pretty soon. You'll see diminishings. You'll see loss. You'll see things in these people's lives. So pay attention to these things. Now, he spins it on the positive, and that's what we're going to do when we go. I'll just give you a little teaser. We're going to go to Galatians 5. So if you like going to Galatians 5, just stick your finger in there. We'll be right there, and I'll show you what this is. This is interpreting this scripture, 24 and 25. Galatians 5 does a fantastic job of interpreting this scripture. What does it look like? What does this look like? Likewise, the deeds, pay attention to the language. The deeds are good are quite evident. And those which are otherwise, other than evident, other than they just are right there in your face, other than them being evident, they can't be concealed forever. There's things in your life that cannot be concealed forever. And hopefully, those are the good things and not the bad things that are in our life, that God is digging and rooting and shining a light in our life, because he's doing it to all of us. There's no saints, but there is. Let me go here. Watch. Galatians 5, very interesting. Paul's dealing with the same thing in all the churches. This is nearly the same timetable. I think this book to Timothy is just a little bit later than this book to Galatians. He's having problems in Galatia. You know that we went through the book of Galatia a few months back or a year ago. It was for freedom, chapter 5. This is not the main body, but I just want to show you the problems that Paul's facing. That Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. This is a letter to the church. Not a personal letter. Letter to the church. Stand firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. What is the yoke of slavery? The Mosaic law. And or sin will yoke you and you become a slave to sin. He writes about that in Romans. Behold, I, Paul, say that if you receive circumcision, this was the false teaching that Timothy came against, one of them that Timothy came against, because there were certain persons that were saying, unless you're circumcised. Remember the big argument in Acts, in the chapter 15 of the book of Acts? Unless the Gentiles are circumcised, they can't be saved. Paul wasn't having any of that. Barnabas was not having any of that. Let's go to Jerusalem and we'll find out what's what. And they did. And they came back victorious with a letter in their hand that started the second missionary journey. Ephesus wasn't until the third, but Paul kept that letter, and he encouraged the churches everywhere he went. Watch what happens here as we go forward. If you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. False teaching. Paul was being very deliberate about the sound doctrine that the church is established in. I testify again that every man who receives circumcision, that he's under obligation to keep the whole law. Wow. The whole law. Sorry, I lost my place. Thank you. You have been severed. Isn't that an interesting play on words? Paul, you have to appreciate this. Instead of being severed to be circumcised, you're severed from Christ. He's saying the severing. You've been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law. The great revelation that Martin Luther had, this revelation of justification by faith. This is what Paul held fast to. He got it from the book of Galatians. And the whole word backs, Romans backs it up. Corinthians backs it up, this whole word of justification by faith. You have fallen from grace, for it's by grace we are saved through faith. You don't get to do anything. When God provided salvation for humanity, he did it with his own strong arm. He doesn't need your help. And he doesn't need your help now. He just needs you to cooperate with him, for you to connect with the Spirit of God and allow him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He just wants to allow the Holy Spirit to work within you. You have fallen from grace, for we through the Spirit, we, Paul is saying we, those of us who know this and carry this knowledge, who understand, we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, and if you want to add, oh, your works, your food that you eat, the things that you drink, they don't add to your salvation. They don't add to your godliness. It's by faith. Keep going. Working, your faith working through love. You were running well. I brought these things to you in the beginning, and you were just running well. You were telling people how you've been delivered from this and that, and the Holy Spirit, and God did this to you and through you, and he's making you an able workman, and you're going around preaching and teaching the simple gospel that I've given you. You were running well. Things were changing in your life. I'm emphasizing it a little bit. What happens to you when you get first born again, when you first believe? You start running well. You start feeding from the word. You start paying attention to things in prayer. Running well, and then all of a sudden life hits. And then what happens? Well, you have to dig in. You have to keep doing the same things you were doing in order to get the same fruit working in your life. Watch what happens. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who was it? Name him. Write the name down. Who was it? What was it? Who was it? This was what Paul's banter was with these false teachers and preachers in his day. The thing he was encouraging Timothy, this is related to Timothy. We're going to get to it. Watch. This persuasion, Ralph and I, we were looking, and Brad, we were looking in 1 John. You know, I sorry about the little diversion, but this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. John says they went out from us, but they weren't of us. They didn't think the same way. They didn't carry the same doctrine. But these false teachers that went out from us, can you imagine that the false teachers actually came from the church? Because they had a different idea. They had a different agenda. Instead of having God's agenda, you know, to change a man into a godly man, into a man of faith, a man of love, and a man with a pure conscience, they wanted to bring people under the law and under the yoke of slavery again. And this is what Paul contended with. He said, this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I keep popping in and out of this, so I'm trying to stay focused. Verse 10, I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the, no other view, what view? The view that Paul carried into Galatia with him, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified for you. This is the only view that Paul had. What happened when he went to Corinth? This scripture says it. I was trembling. My preaching, my teaching were not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but were in demonstrations of the power of God. This is what Paul believed. This is all he carried with him. When he went into these towns, he looked for people and he looked for opportunity for healing, for deliverance, for preaching and teaching of the gospel. It says, I have confidence in you that in the Lord that you will adopt no other view but the one who is disturbing you, that guy. Who is that guy that's disturbing you? That guy there, the one that's disturbing, he'll bear his judgment. Sound like interesting language, right? As per 1 Timothy 5:24 and 25, he'll bear his judgment, whoever he is. God's no disrespecter of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. Oh, you might be well known. It didn't matter. Doesn't matter to God. Godliness is what matters to God. Sanctification is what matters to God. A heart towards him and a heart who loves God is what matters to God. This is what matters. Whoever he is, but I, brethren, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Paul's giving this argument to them. I don't teach that stuff. Then the stumbling block, and this is important, this is the stumbling block, Christ crucified. This is the stumbling block. I believe that you, salvation, you purchased the price for me. There's nothing I can do for it. There's no act of kindness, no act. You should do acts of kindness. Don't get me wrong, but you're not going to get your salvation that way. It doesn't matter how deep you dig into your checking account and how much you put in here, but we'll take it all. But I'm being a little facetious there. Yes, but this doesn't change anything. You give because your heart is in love and you see the work that that seed of faith will accomplish if you sow it. But you have to sow it. But it's according to what a man has, not according. Don't you put things in there that you don't have. It doesn't work that way. You're a giving church. If you don't mind me saying it, you're a giving people. You give of your lives, you give of yourselves, you give of your fortune, your finances. This is what we do. It says, I wish that those who were, verse 12, and I'm getting to my main point slowly, but I'm getting there. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Well, that sounds cold, doesn't it? But you know, you might as well have a rope tied around your neck and tied to a millstone and thrown into the sea. That's what Jesus said. Than to cause one of these to stumble. And this is exactly what Jesus said. This is really no different. So don't pick on Paul too much. Because you're either part of the help or you're part of the problem. And this is what we are in church, in our business. I use that line, Paul, I use that line all the time. There's only two kinds of people at work here. The ones that are part of the help, that get things done and cause a profit for this company. Or the ones that are causing problems and you're a taker and not a giver. Paul was in business for years with a major company down in Cockeysville, you know, and he saw a lot of this in management and things like this. You were called to freedom, brethren. We ought to remember that. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Oh, now we're getting close. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and you devour one another, oh, be careful that you're not consumed by one another. Because see, that's the hidden things. It won't take long. You keep doing that, it won't take long. It's hidden, and it'll come to the surface pretty soon. And that's what Paul was warning Timothy. This is going to come out pretty soon. Some things are hidden. But you keep on that road. You know, that's why we need to love one another. Let me keep going. But I say, this is clarification of 1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25. This is what it looks like. But I say, walk in the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Obviously, an entire teaching on this can be. But what I'm doing is drawing a bold line between what Paul told Timothy and what Timothy already knows, because he was with Paul when he wrote this message. He was with Paul when Paul preached this message everywhere he went. Against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. It's difficult to have a church when people are always living and walking in the flesh. That's why spiritual things, we need to step up. Put off the old man. Clothe yourself with the new man. This is what Paul teaches. In Colossians, for instance, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and holiness and truth. That's the guy. That's the guy I want to be. For these are in its so that you may not do the things that you please. Who am I pleasing today? Which dog am I feeding today? Who am I pleasing? You don't get to choose. Well, you will choose. But it's not as though this is a choice for you to make. It's not even a hard choice. This is what Joshua said. Choose you this day who are you going to serve. This is what he tells us. So we have this choice. We're going to serve the Lord. And if any, we've already been through this road before with these rebels. If any of them get out of line, you know, what did they say they were going to do to him? Anybody that got out of line in Joshua, when Joshua was in charge, they said, we're going to kill him. We're going to end it. We're going to end it. It's not going to be rebellion anymore. We're going to go take the promised land and we're going to follow you, Joshua. This is what was actually going to happen if you read the narrative. But if you're led by the Spirit, verse 18, you are not under the law. This has a particular narrative, of course. And this was Paul writing to the church, whereas the other letter is Paul writing to Timothy. Pay attention to these things in the lives of men around you, Timothy. And he was specifically talking about elders in chapter 5, and he ended it that way. He was still talking about elders, but why would you appoint somebody who walks in the flesh? You wouldn't. I mean, you'd be foolish to do that. Don't lay hands on someone too suddenly. You'll share in their sin if you do. That's what he told Timothy in chapter 5, right before he exposed it. And this is what exposes it. How are you going to know this, Timothy? Watch the language again. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Same language that Paul used when he approached Timothy with this spiritual thought. They're obvious. They're evident. This is the evidence against someone who walks in the flesh. You'll see immoralities, impurities. I'm not making a big deal out of any of these ones. I'm simply making a point of bringing clarity to what Paul was telling Timothy to keep your eyes open for these things. Sorceries, enmities, strifes, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions. See, these things, some sins are obvious, and they go before you to estimate the man's character. And this is what Paul was telling Timothy. Envyings, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, of which I forewarned you. I already told you, Galatia, the churches in Galatia, I told you about that. He told them, and he also told Timothy. Keep your eyes on these things, Timothy. Just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what is that? The kingdom of God is Romans. Are you with me? Same spiritual thought, same man of God, same spirit in this man of God. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but yes, that's what the kingdom of God is. And if you're operating in that kingdom, this is what you operate in, and it will become obvious to all. Because that's the core of what we're looking at right now. It will become obvious to all men. Watch where we go. The fruit of the Spirit is, the deeds of a good man are evident. Chapter 25. And we're seeing him clarifying this. This is the body, spiritual knowledge and understanding that Paul carries that he was hoping to impart to Timothy. I believe Timothy understood what he was saying. They're going to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All of those we could look up and say, what do they look like? But come on, you know this. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. These will not be evident in your life. But if you're in Christ, you will see these spiritual qualities, not the ones before. If you're in Christ and you're pursuing those things, because godliness is the goal here. Let me finish this off and we'll get back to 1 Timothy 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Back to 1 Timothy 5. This is what Timothy knew and understood. This is what he was aware of as someone who was leading in the church of Ephesus. Don't let men look down on your youthfulness, Timothy. You have an advantage. You've been with me all these years. You've seen the hearts of men everywhere we went. You see the rebellion in the cities everywhere we go. You know the difference, Timothy, between spirit, the world of the spirit, and the world of the natural. You know these things, Timothy. So he says the sins of some men are quite evident. They're obvious. How can you not see that this person is walking in the flesh? Because sometimes we do that, you see. But what are you going to do? Well, if I were to go farther, and I'm not meaning to do this, but see, when you encounter this various flesh in people, I know you were just in Timothy in Galatians, but if you read into the next chapter of Galatians and why these thoughts are spiritually connected, brethren, even if a man is caught in trespass, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to get caught in trespass. It's just not possible. You're walking in the Spirit. There's no law against walking in the Spirit. But see, sadly, we don't always. It's just, come on. Well, I don't always. Let me put it that way. Okay, maybe you do, but I don't always. That guy pulls out in front of me at 2:00 in the morning. I really have to bite my tongue. And I'm thinking to myself, there is nobody on the road. And you had to do that? Well, I'm wrong. Okay. I should reserve my judgment. You know, maybe he's taking his pregnant wife to the hospital and he's got to go. It's time to go. See, I don't know the circumstances, but I'm judging him as, you're ignorant. You pull out in front of me. I was on the road. I got right away. And it gets us into sin, you see. Our mind wanders, and this is what happens to us. But it says here, as these are connected thoughts, brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, oh, you think you're a spiritual man, you think you're a spiritual man, a woman, pay attention. You think you're spiritual? Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. See, allow the Spirit to come out of you. The spirit of holiness. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Let gentleness ooze out of you and help that one who is weak in that moment of time to help deliver them from that thing, whatever it might be that they're dealing with. Each one looking to your own self so that you're not tempted. So let's get back. The sins of some men are evident, going before them to judgment. Others, their sin will follow after. Likewise, these deeds, the same language that we used in Galatians 5, these are good, that are good and quite evident, those that and they cannot be concealed. The good deeds that and the spirit of grace that's on the inside of you, you can't hide it forever. As long as you're pursuing God, it's going to come out. It's going to come out of your life. And it thankfully, let me be a witness, I've seen it here constantly in this body. I like being in a church that has maturity. I enjoy that. I enjoy that you don't have to keep cleaning diapers all the time. We have a grandson who's getting out of that phase. That feels pretty good. Randy, do you clean diapers? No, I do not, but my wife does. And I'm happy for her that she doesn't have to clean diapers anymore. I'm not a big fan. I gotta do it if you gotta do it. You know, you just have to do it. But not everybody's fashioned that way. I don't know. I can't help it. I love that about you, Cheryl, that you can go and clean a diaper. That's, God bless you. But Randy, no bueno. What can I say? But this is what we have when we have immaturity in the body of Christ. There's this cleaning up of messes all the time, and thankfully we're all going to grow. Let's get into the new part. Let's get out of that pen and let's get into a new pen. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. He's changing topics now. All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine, I love the words. Our doctrine, this is the doctrine that he preaches. Our doctrine will not be spoken against. Those who have believed, this is commonplace. Don't think of it as the 21st century. It's not the 21st century. There's slavery and it's accepted. And they work with it in their government, in their society. They work with it. The slaves understand their place. The masters understand their place. You can be the master of slaves, but you don't have to be. I'm trying to think of a good word that you're allowed to say in church. I can't think of one. You don't have to be that mean-spirited all the time. You're allowed to have slaves. It's completely legal in the society, and it's accepted. It's pretty common in other countries. To be honest with you, slavery is pretty common. You know, low-income people who are in South America, my experience in South America, you know, you could have a live-in maid, and she's basically your slave, but you give her $30 a week. That's weird, right? Not $30 an hour, $30 a week, and she basically has a place to live for free. She has all the food she needs to eat. That's all she has to do is do her work. And then they, on top of that, these people, and they're middle-income people that can afford to have somebody, and we don't call it slavery, you see. We just call it having a maid, having a servant, having somebody that lives there, and some of them have more than one. You know, it wasn't odd to me. You know, Sister Marcy, she had somebody from the very beginning. She had somebody that lived in their house that helped her with the cleaning, the cooking, all these things. Paid her. She had living quarters. She had a daughter. You know, her daughter needed a place to live. She came and moved in. You know, she's living with Marcy and Randy and the family, the two kids. She grew up with them. But Marcy and Randy's knowledge, understanding, and clarity was, they're not my slaves. I'm helping these people. They were good masters, if you don't mind. They paid them well. They did all the shopping. They cooked all the food. They did all the wash, the laundry, the ironing. This is what they did so that Randy and Marcy could focus on the ministry. I'm having a problem not having any problem with that. I didn't have a problem with that, but this is the society that they live in. We don't have that anymore up here. You know, if you hire somebody to be like a nanny, I mean, you're paying them $1,000 a month. I mean, a week. $1,000 a week to live. You know, these people that have these nannies, you have to pay well. You know, they have an agent. They have people that they have bills to pay. They have, you know, people that are going to attend to them. You know, and the ones that are good, they're wonderful. And then you hear the stories. You hear the stories about the rich and famous who had nannies that go in a different direction. Not about that. This is about slavery. Those who have believers, instruction to Timothy to look about this. Teach these things. There is men and women that are in the church that are slaves, if you don't mind. Watch. Those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they're brethren. They're on equal footing in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Spirit. The slave and the master are parallel. They're on equal ground in God's eyes, but they still had a job to do while they were here alive on the earth. Don't be disrespectful to them. They're brethren, but must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. The benefit of the Holy Spirit, the benefit of salvation, the benefit of the covenant, it belongs to the slave as well as the master. Paul's just given Timothy instruction of how things work in the church and how things work in society. That's all he's telling him. The word of God will speak to us in whatever station of life we're on. I work for somebody. I go in and I try to do my best. That's what I try to do. And I can tell the difference between those people who are there for the paycheck and those people who want to bless the company. And I want to be paid just like you do when you go to your job, you know. But if that company doesn't prosper by having you there, then this is what I used to tell the people when I went down to Charles 25th Street to work down in the inner city. You know, in order for us to keep you on as an employee, there's a production and a metrics that you have to meet. You have to put so many cases of product on the shelf, because if we don't sell anything, we don't make anything. There's no money coming. It's pretty that's simple dynamics. You worked with that metric and that dynamic all the time. You know, how are you going to invest in this employee? So you invest in them, you hire them, you expect them to do some work, and they're a slug. What are you going to do with them? You try to get rid of them. Sorry, it's a little difficult now. They're in the union. You should have got rid of them before. Now it's pretty much difficult. You got to dig them out like a tick. Now, because they get burrowed in now, and it's difficult to change things. So we're supposed to have a heart instead of being an eye pleaser. Paul's not the only one that talks about slavery. Peter talks about it as well. People who are in this station of life. These believers, he says, preach and teach these principles. They're principles of relationship. The whole book of Philemon is about this. Philemon was a slave. Not Philemon. Philemon was a friend of the Apostle Paul. What was the slave's name? Yes, Onesimus. You just said it there. You both said it differently. I know it as that. And that's fine. Amish. It was his Amish accent that got me. Anyway, Onesimus was a slave. And Paul, he was in Rome with Paul. And he witnessed to him and he was saved. He saw the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and he said, I want some of that. And so as Paul and him were speaking together and talking together, he said, well, I could see Paul getting right down where the rubber meets the road. Who's your master? Well, why are you in prison? Well, you know, he stole from his master. And stealing is not going to just get you in trouble once if you don't get caught. Oh, I didn't get caught. Well, you still stole. You know, it's going to happen again, and apparently it did. And it got him into trouble, and whether he was in for stealing or fighting or drunkenness or whatever, carousing, or he was walking down the city and he didn't have any money in his pocket, and so they arrested him and threw him in jail. Don't know. I have no clue. But here it was, Paul witnessed to him, and he says, Onesimus. He says, who's your master? Well, Philemon. Well, I know him. I got him saved. I witnessed to him. I got him saved. And he writes a letter and he gives it to him. Take this back to your master. Read the book. It's just one chapter long. Let's keep going. Teach and preach these principles. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, Timothy, if anybody advocates a different doctrine than what I've been preaching to you and what you've been walking in all my life, he does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pay attention. And with the doctrine conforming to godliness. See, Paul's doctrine and what he believed and what he taught always leads us to godliness, not ungodliness. You can't have things both ways. He's conceited. See that guy that's leading you in another place? He's conceited. He understands nothing. Paul's pretty blunt about this, in my opinion. But he has a morbid interest, and Paul talks about this in other letters, a morbid interest in controversial questions. He tells Timothy to stay away from controversies. Titus, stay away from controversies. Disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language. What are you going to see in the church if you let these things go rampant and you don't preach the doctrine that conforms to godliness? What are you going to see in any church? Not just ours. I'm not picking on us. I'm just saying these are the things that will begin to manifest themselves. They'll become evident among you. Strifes, abusive language, evil suspicions, constant friction between men of depraved minds and deprived of the truth. This is what you have if you don't teach sound doctrine in a church. who supposed, this is interesting, watch how he uses his words here. They suppose that godliness is a mean of great gain. See the form of godliness that they taught. They said if you follow these things, these principles, deprived in their mind, that it's going to be great gain and great advantage for you as a human being. Now he goes on to say, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Contentment is important in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Content with what you have. For we have brought nothing into the world. This is a doctrine of godliness here. Pay attention. You've brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish, harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Paul is telling Timothy, be careful. Keep your eyes open. Watch for these things. Men who desire to get rich. These people were going preaching and teaching in churches and making collections for their own gain, for their own advantage. We know that historically just by looking at the other books. But are they sowing spiritual seeds into the body of Christ? Father, I thank you for spiritual seeds. They come to us through the preaching and teaching of the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ and a doctrine that conforms us to godliness. And we thank you for that, Father. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Father, we welcome those things and we want to live and walk uprightly before you and be fruitful all the days of our life. You are our pursuit, O Lord. So we thank you for that. Give us opportunity to be a witness this week. Give us an opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ to whoever we meet, Lord. Open the door into their heart, Father, to us. Grant us the keys that we might speak a word of deliverance and that their soul would be saved. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.